We're exploring hope, what it means, where to find it here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Our colleagues over at the National Program, to the best of our knowledge, took a deep dive into hope. This is months in the making, this series, and they talked with dozens of people. Here are a few voices.
Hope largely means the ability to still be here fighting.
Our best futures never show up fully formed, and they don't happen automatically.
I have hope because I know this just can't be the best version of the world that we can have.
That is science fiction writer Victor Laval, futurist Amy Webb, who writes about artificial intelligence, and there was Black Lives Matter activist DeRay McKesson. And you can add your voice at any point this hour, 800-642-1234. Do you feel hopeful? Where does it come from? Are you not very hopeful right now? And why? What about our world right now affects your ability to have hope? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Shannon Henry Kleiber is a producer at To the Best of Our Knowledge, co-creator of the Hope series. Shannon, welcome.
Thank you.
And we also have Charles Monroe Keynes, a senior producer at To the Best of Our Knowledge and co-creator of this Hope series. Charles, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning to you.
Well, To the Best of Our Knowledge regularly explores what you call the deeper end of ideas, which is what we really love about the program. But what made you want to tackle this concept of hope, Shannon? How did this idea form?
So Charles and I were talking about doing a three-part series for To the Best of Our Knowledge, and originally, we thought faith, hope, and love. We were kind of playing with that. And then we started talking to people, and everyone wanted to talk about hope. We found all these writers who were writing books that some of them had hope in the title. It just kept coming up, like it was part of the conversation people wanted us to ask them about. And these are not just, famous scientists and writers, but regular people, too, you know, with climate change, things going on in politics. We just found people were looking for hope.
And this, you talked to lots of people, dozens of people for months.
We did. We talked to so many people, and we found that there are so many echoes. Some of the things that also were really inspiring is I'm a mother of teenagers, and we talked to somebody who's a 17-year-old activist. We talked to people who are, neuroscientists, theologians, and asked them, where do you find it, and how do you make it, and is there a future?
Charles, what ideas, what perceptions about hope did you discover that surprised you along this journey?
Yeah, I was really surprised by some of the things we learned. I think one of the biggest things I learned was that people view, a lot of our guests view hope in two different forms, that there's a collective hope and there's an individual hope. So, for example, Kate, you could despair over climate change, but you can still have hope for your family. I never bifurcated that in my mind, and now I do. I see that's an important difference. I think the other thing that I learned about hope is that There's a trite, simple hope that we all live around. I hope my pizza comes on time. I hope my kids, do good in college. And I think that hope, and a lot of guests talk about this, is not the real hope we should be looking for. There's a deeper hope. So, for example, with climate change, the hope for climate change isn't that, hey, wow, we got a new pill. Now we're all going to not have, carbon dioxide in the air, and we're not all going to heat up. That's going to happen. The question for the hope is, how do we survive it? And I hadn't really thought about it the way, I always thought of hope as like this end product, but actually it's not. It's something much deeper. And I think that was a nice way to see it, and I think that's what we wanted to share with our listeners, that, hope is a little bit more complicated than just, I hope my pizza comes on time.
Yeah, we use hope perhaps a little too loosely in our language. Shannon, what about your own perception of hope? How did it evolve in the process?
Yeah, I was also really surprised by the people we talked with about the difference between deep and shallow hope. And I thought we would talk to people and we'd have to kind of push them and say, well, we need to get a little not so much superficial, the kind of saccharine kind of hope that we're, that's, oh, everyone should have hope, kind of self. I didn't want to be too self-helpy in this show. So it surprised me how people were really thinking about it and struggling with it, but yet having it. So, for instance, one of the theologians who talks about hope, he talks about it as being really difficult. And so that really surprised me, and that really made me think that there's more going on in people's minds about hope than we're really bringing out in so many things that we might just see day to day.
And I would add that I think that if you're a journalist, you know, the job of a journalist is to help people understand the world that's around them. They have a greater context inside that world because we do it full time and most people are really busy and they don't have time to really do that. That's our job. You need to understand the Mueller report. You need people to help you understand it that you trust. And I think in the current political climate and because of climate change, there are two things that journalists need to be delving into right now that we need to spend more time on. And that is what is truth and what is hope. Because those are what people need to understand. I think journalists need to take that in context to help people understand that.
We're talking with Charles Monroe Kane and Shannon Henry Kleiber. They're producers at, to the best of our knowledge, co-creators of the Hope series, which begins airing this weekend on Wisconsin Public Radio. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Where do you find hope? And where do you feel leaving you? What brings you despair? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Throughout the series, you explore the concept of hope from lots of different perspectives. As you've been talking about, we heard from a neuroscience before explaining what hope and optimism were. Shannon, tell us what you learned from the neuroscientist.
Yeah, Tali Sherratt was so interesting. We asked her, do we have hope in us? Are we born with hope? Is it innate? And she said yes. So this was really interesting to find out. So the idea of where do you find hope? I mean, you might find it in your community. We found from other people. But her whole concept is we are actually born with hope. It's not even a choice. We have it. And she actually talks about this thing called an optimism bias that many of us have, more than 80% of us. And that means that we are naturally more optimistic, sometimes more optimistic than we should be. And she gives the example of the 2008 financial crisis where people thought things would keep getting better and then they didn't. She says, we just actually are naturally, we personally tend to look on the brighter side, which I thought was so interesting. So it kind of, that was a great place to start, I think, in the series of, okay,
It's
built into us.
But can we learn it? Can we develop
hardwired.
More of it throughout life?
Yes.
We can. And that's really where we get in. So the first hour of the series is where does it come from? And some people find it in themselves. Some people find it in a higher power. Some people find it in their community. And then we move in the second hour to how do you make it? And we can talk more about that. But, you know, we can make it, too. We can actually create it.
And I think just the fact that a neuroscientist has proven, not social science, a neuroscientist has proven that, and she said again and again, 80% of us are innately optimistic, are innately hopeful in our brains. That just that should give us hope. You know what I mean? Like, that's amazing.
It's
like,
there.
Yeah, it's there. Hey, it's there, guys. We can do this. It's inside of us. It's part of our evolutionary biology. We can make ourselves hopeful. And I think that, yes, you can learn and add to it, but like at least take some solace in the fact that it's in us, you know? It's in you, Kate, that you actually...
We just have to coax it out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think we have to know that it's there. And once you know it's there and realize it's in your children, I think that even that is hope. You know, there's a huge debate we've always had since college, right? Are humans born innately good or evil? And you sit in your dorm room and debate it, you know? She proved that we're good. That makes me feel hopeful, you know?
We're looking at all the dimensions of hope this hour with the help of our colleagues at To the Best of Our Knowledge, who are kicking off a 3-part series on hope this weekend. Producers Shannon Henry Kleiber and Charles Monroe Kane co-created the Hope series. They stay with us. You can add your perspective on hope at 800-642-1234. Have you seen or made change in your community? Tell us about it. Does it give you hope? Have you had a child? Does your child's birth cause you to feel hope? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. We'll get back to this conversation in just a minute right here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about hope and where it comes from on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're doing this with the help of our colleagues at To the Best of Our Knowledge, and they interviewed dozens of people about hope, including aerospace engineer and author Robert Zubrin and hip-hop artist and activist Common.
I think hope is essential. Despair is the worst of sins. Of what use is courage if the situation is hopeless? Of what use is wisdom if the situation is hopeless? Of what use is love if the situation is hopeless?
My hope and optimism also sees what's blossoming out of these, like, hard times.
Join in, add your voice on hope at 800-642-1234. What about life or the future gives you hope, or perhaps the opposite thereof? Are you feeling hopeful right now? What is causing it? You can call in, email ideas at WPR.org. The Hope Series producers stay with us, Charles Monroe Kane and Shannon Henry Kleiber. Let's go to the phones now with Ron joining us from Norwalk. Hi, Ron.
Hi, good morning, Kate, and to your guests. Yeah, I think that that hope really starts, you know, and history shows us that we always come out of these dark times, and we will in the future as well. And I think hope starts at the local level, and I think any change starts with the individual, and then it builds to, say, in my community, the township, and then it goes to the county and into the state and then beyond. And I think each one of us has to kind of build off that individual hope. And it's almost kind of like vaccinations. You need to kind of build that herd immunity. And I think hopefulness is kind of part of that. Each one of us needs to be kind of inoculated with hope, and then we move on from there. That's just my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. It sounds like it just really spreads out, Charles.
Yeah, you know, Ron, thank you. That, you know, I never thought about hope, herd, immunity. We should have had you on our series. That's a great idea, actually. You know, Tally, we were talking about Tally Schirato. I'll bring her up again, the neuroscientist. There's a surgery that is still being experimented with that works where you open up the skull and put an electrode in the skull. And for people who are deeply depressed or in deep despair, because in many ways, if you think, you know, despair and clinical depression are very similar things. And there's a surgery done with electricity inside the head that actually makes, and she said, literally instantaneously makes people more hopeful in this surgery. So, you know, there is an immunity. There's a pill out there that'll probably be more and more used to get people away from that despair. So Ron, maybe we can start there to start our herd immunity with that.
And I like what Ron said about the community. It reminds me of talking to some of the activists, that they went out and they met other people who didn't really even know what to do. And then they were together in it and had hope in that.
Had hope as a group because mm-hmm. they knew they had each other.
Right.
And you two interviewed many different artists for this project. One of them was hip-hop artist and activist Common. Charles, you've been trying to interview Common for a while. This has been a journey for you.
It is a journey. I really like Common, and I like his style, but I also thought he'd make a great interview on To Best of Our Knowledge. And I've tried many times to interview him, and all the time it's the same thing. You guys run into this, like, nope, yeah, you're not big enough, you're not cool enough, you're not whatever enough.
Uh-huh.
And of course, it's not him, it's publicists just fighting through. I'm like, And so ever so often, I have a whole list of people, and he's on my list. I just keep trying. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm going to, like, one time I wanted to interview Václav Havel, the president of the Czech Republic. I'm like, I'm going to try every month until they just give up and they say yes, you know. And I did get to have him on To Best for Knowledge, which was, like, amazing. But with Common, I kept trying. And so eventually I sent to say, hey, we're doing this Hope series, and I outlined the other people who would be in it, sent it off, not expecting a reply. And the same day, these are people that have ignored me for like 11 years. And on the same day, they get back and say, Common would love to come in and talk about Hope. And I'm like, yes. And he was ready. He didn't talk about his new band. He didn't talk about hip hop. He didn't talk about all the things you think of. He wanted to talk about Hope, and he was ready.
Well, let's hear a bit of what Common had to say about Hope.
Optimism is not just only looking at what's in front of you and saying, man, and just determining from what you see in front of you that that's going to be the end result. That's not what optimism is or hope is. Hope has to do with also seeing things that may not be right there, tangible, right there in your face at the moment. It's having faith in the unseen. And I see a lot of hard times, but my hope and optimism also sees what's blossoming out of these, like, hard times.
You can hear how earnest he is in his voice.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, right before Obama left office, Michelle Obama invited Common to the White House with NPR, and he did a Tiny Desk concert. If people know Tiny Desk concerts, if they don't, people out there listening. Start listening to, no, they're amazing.
You know,
watch them on YouTube.
Carry on. Uh-huh.
And he did a Tiny Desk concert in the White House, and it was this powerful, powerful moment for him. And then afterwards, I think he started to consider, well, how did things change for black men under Obama, under that hope? And he's like, wow, nothing really changed. And I think he started to fall into despair. He said, a black president, nothing changed for me. And that's just as Shannon said, that's when he started realizing that his hope was the people around him. And now he does believe in that hope, but not like this simple hope that everything's going to be changed. And I also think I will add that he found hope in a very unique space. He realized that the hope for his community is not in black men, but the hope is in black women. And he has a new project where he literally is doing just that, saying, how can I forward black women? Because they are the hope for like an Afro future. And that's a pretty progressive thing to say and do, that for him, hope is black women.
Talking with Charles Monroe Cain and Shannon Henry Kleiber, their producers at To the Best of Our Knowledge, co-creators of the Hope series. Let's go back to the phones now with Marcus joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Marcus.
Good morning. So I personally believe that hope is like happiness. It's something you absolutely have to have inside yourself, because if you expect someone else to make you happy or hopeful, you're simultaneously giving that same person the power to make you unhappy as much as causing you distress. As my grandfather used to tell me when I was a young boy, if you are alive today and have breath in your lungs, then you have the power to make today better than yesterday. And hope is something that can't be taken from you. Only you can surrender it.
Wow. Shannon, what do you hear there?
I think that's beautiful. I think that that's a great way to live your life. And in the last part of our series, we go into, is there hope for the future? And we really do find from the people we've talked with, if you have hope, there is a future. It's interrelated. So I think that what your grandfather and you have talked about is really lovely.
Let's go to Tim now in Cambridge. Hi, Tim.
Morning.
What's on your mind about hope?
Tim? A lot of people like to disagree about and not like despair it and think of it as a bad thing. But if you think outside the box for a minute, hope and despair technically go hand in hand. Because if you're going through despair, something really bad, God is eventually going to put somebody in your path that's going through the exact same thing you are, or a friend or a relative, and you're going to have the hope to be able to help them get through exactly what you've already gone through. So they technically go hand in hand, and it can be a good thing. It can be a magical thing to happen.
Tim, thank you so much for the call. Charles?
You know, that is a thank you for your call. That is a very consistent theme with our guests, that hope comes out of despair. You know, you think about the Pandora box story, right? I mean, what was the last thing to leave the box? It wasn't famine. It wasn't war. It was hope, because I think the gods knew that you need that to survive the other things that left the box. And you need it, and I agree with you, you also need it with others. You cannot do the journey alone. And those that do are not going to survive. You have to do that with other people.
Let's go to Rich now in Rhinelander. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning. I'm sorry I'm the spoiler. I have respect for your authors, but I want to recommend a great comic Jewish novel by Shalom Auslander, Auslander, from 2012. Its title is Hope, Tragedy, and very early in that novel, if you like Joseph Heller or Woody Allen or even Philip Roth, you'll love this novel. Very early in that novel, a rabbi tells the main character, Solomon Kugel, that hope is very dangerous. He says, you know who was the most optimistic person in the last century? In Europe, he said, we have a problem. I can solve that problem. Adolf Hitler. It's a very, very funny Jewish novel. And I just want to recommend it to people listening to this program about
the power of hope. Rich, thanks for the call. And you did, Shannon, talk with a lot of writers about hope.
Yeah, you know, it's Rich, thank you for bringing that up. I think that fiction is a place where we can learn about hope. We talked to Victor Laval, who has this great book out now called A People's Future of the United States. And it's a takeoff on Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States. But it's 25 speculative science fiction pieces, and it is really disturbing and despairing in many ways. Actually, you know, it's not like these sweet little pieces of fiction, but they are all, each piece is hopeful in some way. So when we think of science fiction, we often think of this apocalyptic view of the world and, you know, dystopian view. And these actually have these kind of dragons, robots, time travelers that we would imagine in science fiction, but also a hopeful, interesting future. Or a future at all, which is really interesting to think about, that we can find hope in fiction.
And hey, hope is dangerous, right? Hope is extremely dangerous, just like love.
We're exploring the facets of hope with the help of our colleagues at To the Best of Our Knowledge. Their Hope series starts this weekend, and producers Shannon Henry Kleiber and Charles Monroe Kane stay with us. You as well, 800-642-1234. Stay with us. A news update is next here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and the series is about hope. We've partnered with To the Best of Our Knowledge as they talked with dozens of people from all walks of life to better understand what hope is in our lives. Here is Black Lives Matter activist DeRay McKesson reflecting on his experience with the violence and unrest in Ferguson, Missouri in August of 2014 after the fatal shooting of Michael Brown.
Yeah, I think about hope as a belief that our tomorrows can be better than our todays. And I think that what you see all across the country is hope work. You see people running for office. You see people engaged in electoral politics, joining committees and that sort of stuff. I hope, because I know this just can't be the best version of the world that we can have.
What about life or the future gives you hope, or the opposite? How does the endless news cycle or the world's political situation, even present day climate change, affect your ability to have hope? We're at 800-642-1234. Go ahead and tweet us at WPR Mornings. And the producers of the To the Best of Our Knowledge stay with us, Shannon Henry Kleiber and Charles Monroe Kane. For many young people here in the U.S., there isn't a lot of to be hopeful about, perhaps. That theme often comes up when you talk with young people who will be the most impacted by climate change, those facing threats to their civil rights. And DeRay McKesson is this young activist who was essentially on the front lines in Ferguson, Missouri, while the protesters and police clashed in 2014. Shannon, when you tackled the concept of hope, what took you to DeRay?
I was inspired to hear DeRay's story. He just made hope happen. So when we were trying to put this series together, we're talking to people who, as we were talking about, neuroscientists who find it in themselves and theologians who find it in a higher power. And DeRay McKesson, as an activist, made the hope happen for himself. So he went to Ferguson. He drove from Minneapolis, and he didn't know really what he would find there. And what he found was what he calls hope work. So he didn't quite know where to start, but that's what he talks about. He says, you know, make it happen, show up, start somewhere. And he found that people needed to eat something there. So he started making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for everybody. And he just kind of did it. He started it. And that's where he found hope. And also in the community around him.
Just reminds me of what you've heard in this Hope series of just do something.
Right.
Just act. Be something. Because if you sit idle and don't do something, that is not going to give you hope.
Right. And that's where he just started. He started doing it. And then he found himself, you know, in a really tough place. He was being, you know, there's, you know, violence, and he was hiding under a steering wheel, and there was huge despair he was feeling, and he just kept going.
Let's hear, in his words, his experience in the Ferguson protests, which led to the formation of Black Lives Matter.
When I looked on CNN, it looked like the protesters were sort of wild. When I looked on Twitter, it looked like the police were really wild, and I just wanted to see for myself what was happening. And the second night I was in St. Louis was the first night that I was tear gassed, and I was like, this is wild. Like, nobody should ever have to live through this or experience this, and I'll do whatever I can to make sure that people don't. And when I think about how I learned hope, it was like in these really hard moments. You know, I remember hiding under my steering wheel. I remember sleeping on the side of the road. I remember all of those things.
So what does DeRay's hope mean there? What does it strike you, Shannon?
I think, like we've been talking about, you can find it in the darkest times. So he was, instead of having this experience of being really scared and worried about what to do and leaving, he stayed. And he talks about that, how, you know, we stayed, that so that kind of physical showing up. And then just kind of he kept going, and he looked around to see what needed to happen.
Charles, how did DeRay and Common, the rapper Common, how did their ideas mesh or perhaps complement each other?
Well, they're black men in America. I mean, if you want to have a group of people who should feel hopeless, you just found them, right? I mean, it's not hard to stretch to that, to the problems for black men in America. I think both of them see hope as a verb. I don't think everyone of our guests see hope as a verb, but they do. And, you know, hope is a journey. It's not a destination, and you don't do that journey alone. And I think that's exactly what they see, and they echo each other because they're just doing it. And I mean, I follow both of them on Twitter. Like, you should follow them on Twitter. Like, it feels good, you know? I'm not being shot by police on the streets. I'm not disproportionately in prison. You know, I'm not being lacked, you know, education. They are. And they're shaming me almost in the hope and the actions that they're doing. He made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Like, just for a moment, think about that. We just say, oh, whatever. Like, that was a powerful act that he did. You're hungry, I'll make you sandwiches. That's all I can do. You know, and as journalists, there's something we can do. If you're a mom who does this, that's what you can do. We all have things that we can do. And I think that they're very involved in doing. I find that very powerful. And I think that that's why they echo each other.
Frank from Springbrook called in to say there is such low voter turnout generally, but especially during spring elections. Is that a reflection of a lack of hope? What can we read into that? Shannon?
You know, that makes me think about one of our guests who is, she just ran a political campaign. She's 17 and she can't vote because she's 17. And she said, what you can do for me is go out and vote. And that's what you can do for me. So, I think that is an example of not doing something when you're not voting. I think that is a good example of why is that happening? And it's worth asking. It's worth questioning, why is that happening?
And you know, that young actress, her name is Lydia Hester. One of the things that she said was, if you don't want to vote, you know, that's fine. Ask me who I would vote for and then vote for me. So it's not just like vote for me theoretically, like literally vote for me then. If you're that apathetic, fine. I want you to vote for this candidate for this issue. Because if you're 65, 70 years old, climate change isn't really going to affect you. Not on the level it's going to affect me. I'm 17. So you know what? Give me the vote. Give me the power. It's really interesting, actually.
We're talking with Shannon Henry Kleiber and Charles Monroe Kane, their producers, at to the best of our knowledge, and co-creators of the new Hope series. You can join in with your thoughts, your perspectives on hope, where you feel it, where it comes from. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. So climate change has come up frequently. Charles, you've brought it up through this interview. Shannon, you interviewed author Roy Scranton, who tells us how he thinks he would think about climate change. What did you learn from him?
So Roy Scranton has this fascinating book called We're Doomed, Now What? And you can kind of tell where he's going with that from the title.
And it gets worse.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Right. So he's really interesting. I had never thought about climate change in the same way before reading this book. So he says, yeah, it's going to happen. We can't solve it, but we still have to be hopeful for a new reality. So his idea is we're going to survive it. And what are we going to do about it? So in his own way, it's very hopeful. I mean, it is the darkest, you know, example before the hope. And he gives this incredible example of he's not sure whether to raise his daughter to, you know, do things like, you know, take the SATs and go to college, or should she be trained in archery like Katniss Everdeen? Like, you know, what is this future she's going to have? Is it going to be kind of a survivalist future? It might be. And his creation of how he sees the world, which is, you know, kind of extreme in a lot of ways, makes you think about hope in a different way.
Well, let's hear the reflections he had when he had his daughter, when she was born.
I cried twice when my daughter was born. The first time for joy, and the second time for sorrow. It was 10 or 15 minutes after she'd been born, and I was holding her, this brand new life, looking out the window, I didn't know what to say to her. I'd brought her into this world and not fully grasped what that would mean for her life.
Charles, is climate change making our younger generations hopeless? And also as parents who look to those younger generations?
No, it's not making them hopeless at all. I mean, two things. Millennials are huge. It's a huge group of people. And I think they fully grasp the problem at hand, and they're doing something about it. The question we shouldn't be asking is if they're hopeless or not. I think the other generations above them, our hopelessness is getting in their way. Like, if you're going to be hopeless and despair, fine. But get out of Lydia Hester and everybody else's way. Get out of my son's way. Get out of my daughter's way so they can solve the problems that we created. I don't think they're hopeless at all. I think we're going to see huge political changes because of millennials, and I welcome it, welcome it, welcome it.
Let's go to Martha now in Menominee. Hi, Martha.
Hi, good morning. Enjoying this very much. I had a long talk with my pastor years ago about this very subject, and he enlightened me. He said, you know, hope is great, but without you don't have hope without faith. And the concept of hope is something, you know, that has not yet been attained. Faith gets you hope. So here's the way I see it. I hope that our country will heal its wounds, but the faith I have in the younger people these days is what gives me that hope. So there's my thought on that.
Martha, thank you. How does spirituality, Shannon, fit into hope?
Yeah, thank you, Martha. I really agree with you, and I think that for this show, we talked to a couple theologians. We talked to Serene Jones, and we talked to Andre Willis, and they have this really interesting idea about this deeper hope, and I kind of think about this deeper hope as what you're talking about with faith. It is interrelated and impossible in some ways without each other. So it's some of these words are... Andre Willis calls it the grammar of hope. You know, should we use these words, happiness, hope, optimism, faith? Some are attainable without each other. They do all fit together in this really interesting way. And I think faith, having a belief in a higher power, having belief in yourself, is so interconnected with hope. So it's great to hear your story.
We're making sense of hope, where it is, how to cultivate it, what happens when life feels hopeless. Can all hope be lost? The Hope series begins this weekend on the national program To the Best of Our Knowledge, and the producers stay with us, Shannon Henry Kleiber and Charles Monroe Kane. Getting your thoughts on hope, they're welcome at 800-642-1234. We'll be back to this conversation in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. Looking closely at what hope is, where we see it in our lives, and then what happens in its absence. Is it really gone? It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. To be hopeful is to look on the bright side of life. Hope actually gives us a reason to do something, anything, even take out the trash or do the dishes. We're examining hope with the help of our colleagues at the National Program To the Best of Our Knowledge. They start a three-part series on hope this weekend, having interviewed more than a dozen people over a number of months. You can add your voice to the conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you witnessed hope in your community? Have you made a conscious choice to be hopeful when others around you feel despair? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. Producers Shannon Henry Kleiber and Charles Monroe Kane stay with us for this conversation. And Shannon, you broke this apart into a series with three episodes or several episodes. What are the themes?
Right. So the Hope series for To the Best of Our Knowledge is the first one is, where do we find hope? So in ourselves, in our community, we find it in different ways. The second one is, can we make hope? And we talk to different people, activists, people who find it in reading fiction, other ways they've created and made hope in some way, kind of as the verb, the doing. And then our third episode is, are we really doomed? Is there a future? And we do find there is a future. So we
spoiler.
Have,
yeah, spoiler.
I know. I'm
going
to spoiler. You have to listen to why we think there is a future. Uh-huh. But the whole idea of having hope means there's a future. We found in so many ways. So those are the three parts that we put together.
And listeners actually have the chance to participate in the series to tell their stories. Charles, give us some information on that.
Well, if you go to ttbook.org/hope. There's a button on our website, and on that button, if you just click it, you're recording, and we'll record your voice, and we're going to be remixing those voices and make that part of the series. We've left some space in the show to add your voice because we want to hear where you're coming from. It's very important to hear everyone's coming from, your views on hope. So go to ttbook.org/hope and be part of the show.
During this time, you've talked to so many people, but you also have your own personal story about hope, how you relate to hope in your own life, and certainly all of these interviews helped you think about that. Charles, what about hope for you?
Well, you know, for me, 2018 was a bad year. It was like my worst year. I was in the hospital for a really long time. I had to take 4 months off work to be in the hospital, and it was a time of despair. It really was the low point of my life, and I'm still recovering from what happened. And so for me, I think I saw hope before that as this thing you can attain and be like, can solve the problem. And the hope was, you know, at the end of the movie when the hero, you know, wins. But that's not true. I think for me, hope is a journey. And what I found is that I wasn't alone on that journey. And to me, that's hope. Hope is the people that at times carried me on that road. And I think that's where I find hope. And that's one of the reasons I want to do this series, because I think other people need that. And I'm glad that I found that out.
Shannon, what about you?
It is so much about not feeling alone. And, you know, one of the things that was really, really made me want to do the series is being a mother to two teenagers and thinking about their future life and how they think about things. And, you know, with climate change and everything else that I feel like our generation is in so many ways responsible for, how do we learn from them? How do we support them? How do we, like Charles was saying, not get in their way, but how can we help them? How can we help them have hope? And what is their hope? Let's ask them about it even.
You know, I would like to add that one thing I've learned in the last year and one thing I've been solidified for doing this series is that hope is a sacred word. There's not a lot of them, and hope is one of them, and it should be used and taken very seriously when you use that word.
Let's go to Suzanne in Madison now. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi. Hello.
Hi, Suzanne. What do you know about hope?
Well, 3.5 years ago, because of heart issues, I was in a coma at UW Hospital. And the thing about hope is, at the time, you know, I was unconscious, but other people, my sisters especially, never gave up hope on me. I mean, there was a lot of negative things talking about perhaps we'd have to disconnect her on life support, but my six sisters did not ever give up on me. And neither did my brothers, but my sisters were at my bedside at all times. Mm. They refused to, you know, say, nope, we're going to try this. And here I am. I'm sitting in a state park right now, and I'm fine. And I know it's because their hope and their positivity of not giving up on me is the reason I'm here.
They stood vigil around you. What do you hear there, Charles?
Well, you know, Suzanne, what I think the most exciting thing about your story is that now that you've made it to the other side, you get to pay it forward, right? That was given to you, and now you get to give it to someone else. And I think that is a very powerful, just knowing that you can do that, she could get me up in the morning and be like, oh my gosh, where do I get to give hope to somebody else today? You know, where can I show grace? And so for me, that's the most exciting part, is that now you get to contribute to that.
Well, let's end on novelist and poet Alice Walker. She recited a piece for your show, and we'll hear it in a bit. And the piece is accompanied by music composed specifically for this purpose. Shannon, how did this come together?
It was so wonderful to meet Alice Walker. I interviewed her at Interlochen Public Radio for another show that we had her on for, and I asked her to read this poem about hope, because I knew we were working on this, and it's in her new book, and she just has this beautiful voice, I think. So we had her read this poem, and on our staff, we were all really inspired by it, and then we thought, well, it would be cool to have this beautiful music to go with it. So we asked Wendell Patrick, who's a composer he also writes compositions for Out of the Blocks, the public radio show, to create something original for it. And he said, yes, you know, yeah, I'm going to do a score for Alice Walker's poem. And so I really do feel like it's a small, beautiful piece of artwork, both the poem and the music together.
Mm. Well, let's, Charles, do you have any few words there about this poem before we hear it?
No, that was perfect.
Well, let's now hear Alice Walker reciting her thoughts and reflections on hope.
Hope is a woman who has lost her fear. Pusundas Shekhar Saleh, Iraqi mother, with my love. In our despair that justice is slow, we sit with heads bowed, wondering how, even whether, we will ever be healed. Perhaps it is a question only the ravaged, the violated, seriously ask. And is that not now almost all of us? But hope is on the way. As usual, hope is a woman herding her children around her, all she retains of who she was. As usual, except for her kids, she has lost almost everything. Hope is a woman who has lost her fear, along with her home, her employment, her parents, her olive trees, her grapes, the peace of independence, the reassuring noises of ordinary neighbors. Hope rises. She always does. Did we fail to notice this in all the stories they've tried to suppress? Hope rises, and she puts on her same unfashionable threadbare cloak, and penniless she flings herself against the cold, polished, protective chainmail of the very powerful, the very rich. Chainmail that mimics suspiciously silver coins and lizard scales. And all she has to fight with is the reality of what was done to her country, her people, her children, her home. All she has is Alma, is what she has learned must never be done. Not in the name of war, and especially never in the name of peace. Hope is always the teacher with the toughest homework. Our assignment, to grasp what has never been breathed in our stolen empire on the hill. Without justice, we will never be healed.
That was poet and author Alice Walker reciting an original piece. And you can hear more from her and many others on To the Best of Our Knowledge, which begins airing their Hope series this weekend on the Ideas Network. You can learn more, contribute your thoughts, your reflections, stories about hope at ttbook.org/hope. That's ttbook.org/hope. Shannon Henry Kleiber and Charles Monroe Kane, they're producers of To the Best of Our Knowledge, co-creators of the Hope series. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Kate, very much.
This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You are listening to the Ideas Network.